السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على أصيائه وخلفائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى قيام يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، قال رب بما أغويتني لأزينن لهم في الأرض ولأغوينهم أجمعين إلا عبادك منهم المخلصين. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. Many of us, we possess a variety of hats and masks that we adopt throughout the day, depending on our circumstances, depending on the people whom we are with, depending on our environment. Sometimes we notice that our circumstances, they call or they require for us to act in a particular manner. For instance, if you are at work, you are expected to be professional. You are expected to be formal. With strangers, we express, being formal. We, in general, we try to express kindness, good manners in the way that we conduct ourselves, in the way that we speak to others, in the way that we interact with others. And sometimes these attributes, these actions, the way that we conduct ourselves may not necessarily reflect our true selves. For example, if there is someone who is habitually stingy in their regular life, they're stingy, they're greedy, they don't like to help others, they don't like to give, right? You'll notice that sometimes this person who may be stingy, he or she may be in certain circumstances or contexts where he must or she must act kind, right? For instance, they're put on the spot, they're at an event, a fundraising event, right? He or she may be there for the food, right? Or anything else, and they're put on the spot. They're put on the spot, so it is requested of, or it is required in that specific circumstance that they're in, to do what? To be generous. They can't stand up in front of everyone and be stingy or greedy or not be generous. But this act, although this act may be a generous act, he or she may be giving, so apparently it looks generous, but it may not necessarily reflect their true self. There's a saying that says that if you want to know who someone really is, ask his or her spouse, his or her wife at home, or their family members at home. When there are no strangers around, when there are no strange eyes, ask their spouse, and their spouse can tell you what kind of person or who this person really is. Whether this person is truly kind, truly generous, truly compassionate, or whether this person is stingy, this person is impatient, this person is angry. The best person to ask is the person that you or one lives with, because They are the ones who see someone's true colors. There is a famous tradition by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He says to his companions, one day he was sitting with some of his companions and he said to them, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِ. The best of you, my companions, is the one who is the best to his family, who treats his family or her family members in the best manner. وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِ. And I am the best when it comes to treating my family members in the way that I treat my family members. And there are many, many lessons that we can take from this short statement. Huh? There are many lessons that we can extract. But one wisdom behind this hadith by the Prophet is that it's easy for us to be able to express kindness, to be courteous, to be polite, to smile, to be respectful with those who we spend little time with. Right? If you're at work and you have various clients, for instance, and you know that you're going to be spending 10 minutes with this client, an hour with this client, it's easy for you to say, you know what? I'll handle for the sake of the job, for the sake of my income, for the sake of my reputation, I'll handle this 10 minutes, so I'll put a smile on for 10 minutes. It's easy. It's easy, for instance, when you spend time with, little time with people, to be able to be nice and to be able to be kind and to be able to be generous and polite. Because you spend little time with them. You know that you don't have to maintain this interaction or these sorts of expressions. Whereas on the other hand, it is much more difficult to express kindness, to maintain kindness, to maintain compassion, to maintain a smile, to maintain patience with those who we live with constantly, those who we see and see us day in and day out. If you look at the example of children, parents, for instance, who have children, sometimes you'll notice that this father or this mother, when it comes to their interactions with other children, their neighbors' children, their friends' children, if they come over, for instance, they come over company, they come over to the home, right? And some families, mashallah, they have children who are very active, let's say, let's use the word active. Huh? So these kids, they come over, and they're very active, they're jumping around, they're causing a mess. The person says what? The host, the father, the mother, says, you know what, these are my friends, and they're here for a short time, 1 hour, 2 hours, so I'll be patient, I'll smile, I'll be patient with these children. But then after they leave, the same father, the same mother who was smiling, they may not be so patient with their own children. They may not express kindness with their own family members. And this is problematic. It's very difficult. It's not easy. It's very difficult. But here is where the test lies. It is those who we spend most time with where our true colors and our true self emerges. They say if you want to really get to know someone, the best thing to do is do what? To travel with them. Huh? Not in comfort. Not when you're at work and when the weather's nice and there's the beach here and you can go to lunch together and you know everyone is looking good and smelling good. Travel with them. Go somewhere very, very far. See how they are. Are they patient? Are they impatient? What type of person this is? Their true colors come out when they are exposed to various scenarios, various situations. And this is the lesson that we learn. We learn this lesson from our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. If we examine the life of the Prophet, we notice that he was the same inside and out. Same. He did not have a different mask that he would wear when he was out in public, and then he would take this mask off when he was at home. He was the same. One example is of the famous incident when the first revelation came down upon the Holy Prophet. He was in the cave of Hira. He received his first revelation from the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. What did he do? He came home immediately. He came home And at that time, he was still in Mecca. He was married to Sayyidah Khadija alayhi salam. He came home and the Prophet was in awe. You can imagine what type of experience this would be. Although the Prophet, this was not something necessarily new to him. He spent years going and meditating in Ghar Hira and turning to Allah and worshipping Allah. But yet this experience was a unique experience. This was the first time that the revelation was actually being brought forth. And so you can imagine what type of experience this would be. It inspired him. It instilled awe in his heart and in his body and his being. So he comes home and the Prophet is amazed. And he asks Khadija alayhi salam. He tells his beloved wife Khadija alayhi salam. He tells her, "Oh Khadija, bring me a blanket." The Prophet is, you know, he's shaking, he's trembling. "Bring me a blanket to cover me." And then he begins to tell her what happened. He tells her exactly what happened. And he's in a state of awe. And Khadija alayhi salam, she does what? She calms him down. She brings him comfort. She tells him, "Oh Muhammad, this is a sign of your purity. This is a recognition." He recognizes that this is a revelation from Allah. That this is you being considered a messenger by Allah, and this revelation is from Allah. Do not fear this, or do not look at this revelation as something extraordinary. No, you are suitable for this. Because you are the one who is pure, you are sincere, you are kind, you are good-natured, you are compassionate. And so you should not feel like there should be something extraordinary. You are the one that's suitable for this. And this is because Khadija alayhi salam, she knew the Prophet. She lived with the Prophet, peace be upon him. This was after 15 years of living with the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. She knew him. She knew that the Prophet was the same inside and out. When he would go outside, he was the same as when he was at home. And this is why we notice that one of the values and one of the characteristics that is emphasized on in our tradition, in the Quran and in the traditions by the Holy Prophet and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, is of adopting sincerity in our lives. Making sure that we are sincere. Making sure that we refrain from duplicity. Making sure that we are the same inside and out. That the noble virtues, they reflect not just when we are outside and when we are interacting in the outside world, but also even when we are alone. Even when there is no one, no strange eyes around to see us. Because that is our true faith. Our true faith is not necessarily what we do outside, but what we do inside when we are all alone. When there's no one around. Because we realize what? We realize that there is an eye that is watching us. There is one that is always watching us. And this is the key to success. Sincerity is the key to success. Iblis, he makes a promise to Allah after he was expelled from the heavens. Iblis, he makes a vow to Allah. He says what? He says, قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. Because you have expelled me from the heavens, لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ or لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. What I will do in retaliation is that I will come to your servants on earth. I will come to them in adornment. I will mislead your servants. لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. I will make the earth for them and their desires, their worldly desires, seem what? Seem pleasurable. I will mislead them through that. وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I will do everything in my capacity to mislead your creation, to push them away from your path. But then he himself, he makes an exception. He says, إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Except those servants amongst your creation, your servants that are what? That are sincere. Because sincerity is a fort. It is this sincerity that stops Shaytan from being able to penetrate and take over and to mislead us. Because this sincerity is based on what? It's based on firm faith. It's based on recognition and mindfulness and consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the essence of sincerity. When we live our lives, when all of our actions, everything that we do, all of our interactions, even our thoughts, are done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he teaches us this lesson of sincerity. His circumstances did not change him. When he became a messenger, he was the same as before he became a messenger. When he had access to the wealth of Khadija alayhi salam, this honorable lady, this great lady, this pioneering lady who gave all of her wealth, everything that she had, she gave for what? She gave for the sake of Islam. When he had access to all of this, it did not change him one bit. He didn't go and buy a fancy home or a fancy car. He started dressing. No, he was the same humble prophet. The same clothes that he would wear before, he was wearing now. The same food that he would eat before, he would eat now. The same mode of transport. It did not change him. The same kindness and compassion and generosity that he would exhibit before, he would exhibit after. And this is the point of sincerity. This is the essence of sincerity. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he also teaches us sincerity, brothers and sisters. He also teaches us what it means to be committed to the truth. What it means to be committed to justice, to freedom, to goodness, to righteousness. This is one of the main lessons that we extract from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein could have sat aside, as our respected brother Dr. Taqi mentioned last night in the lecture. He said he could have stood aside. He was standing against an army of 30,000 with 72 people, right? He could have said, you know what? This is an army of 30,000. There are millions of Muslims or hundreds of thousands of Muslims and none of them are coming to my help. What are they going to think? What are they going to do? No, no, no. He had sincerity. He had a commitment to truth and to justice. And so he pursued that path. Circumstances did not change him. He did not look at himself one day he has power or he does not have power. His pursuit of truth and justice was not based on how much or how big of an army he had or how little of an army he had. Or how big his resources were or how little his resources were. No. He had a commitment to truth, commitment to justice. And this was because of the sincerity of his heart. And this is the lesson that we learn. And this is why, brothers and sisters, today millions upon millions, they walk towards Karbala. From various parts of the world. They come to visit Imam Hussein. Many of them, they walk. They walk for days. Some of them, they walk for weeks in honor of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein gave everything he had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so Allah brought all of these hearts and minds towards Imam Hussein. And this is why we remember Abi Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نحمده ونسبحه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم على أوصيائه وخلفائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبط نبي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة وعلى أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره قال تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله ألا إن نصر الله قريب آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم It is no secret that today Islam and Muslims are under intense attack. And this attack comes from two sides. There is the attack that comes from within, and that is expressed by those who are committing unspeakable atrocities in the name of Islam. Those who are causing problems, devastation, disaster in the name of God and in the name of Islam. And the other is that which is coming from outside, and that is exemplified by the rising tide of Islamophobia and bigotry and hatred towards Islam and towards the Muslims. Our faith has been hijacked by a statistically insignificant minority that has caused so much disaster and so much destruction, and that does not share with us any of the great teachings of our tradition except what? Except the name. Except the name. And these acts we see, such as what happened on Wednesday in San Bernardino. Couple, husband and wife, they decided to go to the Inland Regional Center, Center for Social Services, to go in there and to massacre 14 people and injure another 21. In the name of what? Today, the FBI has considered this act as an act of terrorism, linked to extremism and radicalism. And this act, by the way, we unequivocally condemn, brothers and sisters. We stand with other Americans, and as human beings, before even being Muslims, as human beings, we stand and we condemn this act and similar acts. Violence, murder, killing has no place in our tradition, no place in our teachings. And so we condemn this act, and we mourn the loss of these innocent lives. And I've been reading, and many of you perhaps have been reading, some of the stories of the lives of these victims. Mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters. Some of them who have young kids. Nothing can justify this horrendous act. Nothing. And so we offer our condolences to the victims. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring a recovery to those who are suffering and those who are injured. But these acts, unfortunately, they have given reason to those who are ill-natured, those who are ignorant, those who are hate-mongers, in order to do what? In order to vilify Islam and to vilify Muslims. I mentioned yesterday that one of the publications online in New York, they had on the front page of their publication, they had a large ad, a photo of one of the victims on the floor in blood, bloodied, and in big captions, it said, Muslim killers. Those who are exploiting these atrocities in order to further spew their hatred and their intolerance and their bigotry. And the vast majority of Muslims, they're caught in the middle of this storm of evil. Muslims fear backlash. Many fear for their security and the security of their families. and their children and our society, we fear backlash. Because there are those who intend on causing commotion. There are those who intend on causing destruction. And these acts give them reason to further these evil acts. But brothers and sisters, this is not something new. These challenges that we face both within Islam and from outside, this is not something new. If we go back to the inception of Islam, from the very first day, the inception of Islam, we notice that the Holy Prophet and the early Muslim community, they also faced this exact same problem. The Quran tells us of two streams. There was one, there was a challenge from within that was expressed and exemplified by the hypocrites in the community. And there is an entire chapter, Surah Al-Munafiqun, the chapter of what? Of the hypocrites. Those who claimed to have accepted Islam, those who claimed who were Muslims, but they were acting contrary to the teachings of Islam. They were subverting the message of Islam. This on the one hand, and on the other hand, there was the outside, the external enemies. And much of the time, we noticed that there was a lot of cooperation between these two groups. And they tried everything in their power in order to attack Islam from within and from outside. But we look and we are inspired by the example of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. In one instance, a famous instance you have all heard of, where the Prophet in the early days, he goes to the city of Ta'if in order to proclaim the message of Islam, in order to invite its citizens to Islam, to teach them about Islam. We are told that the inhabitants of Ta'if, they do what? They reject the message of the Prophet. Not only do they tell him to turn back and go back to where he came from, but they do what? They begin to attack him, and they attack the Muslims that are with him, to the point where the Prophet is bleeding. They have to run away from this attack by the inhabitants of Ta'if. The tradition tells us that Jibra'il, he comes down, he descends upon the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and he tells him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his blessings and his praise upon you, O Messenger, and he says that if you will, that you pray, and Allah will do what? He will punish this group of people for their act. All it took was for the messenger to raise his hands and to say, my Lord, you have seen what they have done to us, the way they treated us. Bring down your punishment on these people. What was the reaction of the Prophet? Instead, the Prophet raised his hands to the sky and he began to weep and he began to cry. And he said, oh my Lord, have mercy on them because they do not know. They don't know better. This is why the Quran, when describing the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have sent you as what? As a mercy to all of creation. Not just to the Muslims. Not to, just to his followers. Not just to his community and to his people. But a mercy to all of creation. To human beings and even past the human beings, to the animals and to the environment and everything. The Prophet is sent as a source of mercy, as a source of compassion. The Prophet, peace be upon him, responds with clemency, with tolerance, with compassion. And this is a great lesson that we learn, brothers and sisters. And this is one example. We see this in the lives of our role models, the Imams also, the Ahlul Bayt. We see the way that they dealt with their challenges, through clemency, through compassion, through kindness, through having an open heart, not through seeking revenge, not through suggesting things that were foolish or saying foolish or replying to those who attacked them in a manner that was negative. The Quran tells us, "Idfa billati hiya ahsan." Repel evil with that which is better. فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم.
Perhaps if you repel evil with kindness, with goodness, you will see that it will have a positive effect on others around you. And as a result, those who may consider themselves to be your enemies may become what?
They become your friends. And this is a lesson that we learn from the Holy Prophet. This is a lesson that we learn from our master, Rasulullah, and the Ahlul Bayt. They teach us that we can overcome and we can face these internal and external challenges through adopting teachings of mercy and compassion and wisdom and righteousness. What's ironic, brothers and sisters, is that these extremists and these terrorists, as well as the bigots and the hate mongers and the Islamophobes, essentially, these two groups are two sides of the same coin. They're not different, huh? They're not. They're exactly the same. They are two sides of the same coin. And this is because both of these groups, they espouse what? Both of these groups, they profess and they espouse ignorance and intolerance and hatred of the other, of those who do not take their path. If you look at the terrorists, what do they say? The terrorists, they attempt to convince the world that the West and the world is at war with Islam. This is what they attempt to say. This is what they attempt to convince the world. The other extremists on the other end, the bigots and the Islamophobes and the hate mongers, they attempt to convince the world that what? That Islam is at war with the world. It's the classic clash of civilizations paradigm, where these groups are bent on espousing hatred, in furthering hatred and animosity and intolerance of others. And as Muslims, as Americans, both Muslims and non-Muslims, brothers and sisters, as Americans, our job is to prove these groups otherwise. To prove the terrorists and extremists otherwise. To prove the bigots and the Islamophobes and the hate mongers otherwise. We are to prove to them that as a community, we are here to live in peace with others. We are here to contribute to the goodness of society. And we can do this by adopting these values, by making sure that during these times, no matter how scary it may be, no matter how apprehended we may be, no matter the amount of apprehension and fear that we may have, that we stay firm. We have strong faith. We do not forfeit our values. We do not forfeit our faith, that we remain strong and we show them the true character of Islam and Muslims. And that we continue to do so through our relationships with those around us, with our co-workers, with our classmates, with our neighbors, with strangers, with the interfaith community, with the rest of community, between us, amongst us, as brothers and sisters, as those who share humanity. This is our job. Our job is not to play their game. Our job is not to play in the hands of neither the extremists nor the bigots and the Islamophobes. To show them the real and true faith of Islam and Muslim. We will not allow these acts of violence. We will not be intimidated by these acts. We will not be intimidated by the bigotry and the hate mongering. We will not be deterred. We will continue to pursue justice and freedom and righteousness and goodness within ourselves and within our communities. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to bring our communities safety and security, to protect us and our families and our neighbors and our wider community from all that is evil. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to that which pleases Him and away from that which displeases Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring relief to those who are suffering all around the world, to help those, to grant those who are in need, to grant them their needs, to bring relief to those who are sick and those who are ill. There are many people who are in critical condition. There are many people who are suffering in various parts of the world. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring them relief and safety and happiness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the souls of those who have passed away and to hasten the reappearance of our final Imam al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan al-Mahdi. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله